It's an honor to have everybody here this day. The good news of the gospel here this day is that we all fit in God's plan. We all fit in God's perfect plan. No matter how messed up we might have been, no matter what has taken place, His grace and mercy, what He did at the cross, has a way of allowing us all to fit into His body, amen, that many thought would never, ever reach a point as in coming to church. It was not in our plans. It was not even on paper that one day we would find ourselves in a church being stirred by the Lord, being broken by the Lord. But it was His plan when He was on the cross and the joy set before Him while we were still powerless, ungodly sinners. He took it all the way for you and I. And I believe He wants to be that great example for you and I to be able to go all the way in Him. Because He went all the way for us. As we pray here this day, Father, we thank You. We love You. We give You all the glory and all the honor. Because we know we could have never put a plan together such as what's taking place here this morning, Lord. You not only touched the adults there yesterday at the picnic, but down to the very youngest of children were touched, Lord, and excited and laughing and yelling and jumping in and out of the water, Lord, Father God, as if it was their very first time to do it. And I pray also, just as You touch from the youngest to the oldest yesterday, that once again through the preaching of Your word, that You touch the youngest from the oldest here, Lord, Father God, and that Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. You may have your seats here this beautiful Sunday morning. Once again, I am so blessed. That presentation there was the message again, I say. It was proof of what the Lord did yesterday. It was just real good stuff. Real good stuff took place. I'm going to preach the gospel now here this morning. And if you're being moved of the Lord, you'll pay attention. If you're being touched of the Lord right now, you will automatically be very attentive to everything that's being said right now. Because it's to bring an increase of blessings in your lives to a point where you're able to bless other lives through your life. A sister that at their church, they did a study and they were using the true Roman soldier. These ain't the true Roman soldiers, amen. But it's just to get the idea, we're looking for the real ones, the Roman soldiers, and we couldn't find nothing. They had little things, but I wanted life size. So this is just, and today I'm going to be speaking about the shoes, amen. Amen. The title of the message is A Time to Recognize Jesus from the Feet Up. How many came beat up from the feet up? Amen. Well, now we're going to be built up from the feet up in Jesus. Amen. And we're going to start from the feet up. I want to preach this day on positioning yourself in Jesus. Because I believe here this day there's been so many, including myself, that was out of position all of my life. Some were out of position more than others. Some went through more stuff than others did. But nevertheless, we were all out of position. Whether we were from the hood or from the suburb, from some other state, we were out of position. And Jesus placed us in position through His grace and mercy in what He did, not what He said, but what He did at the cross of Calvary. And here this day, I just want to let you know that you fit in, that you have a place here at the church, that you are the one of the many parts of the body of Christ here this day. Your life is very important here today because you fit in to what the Lord wants to do, not only in your life, but through your life. You're a fit. The first day coming to church after doing all these years in prison, I got out on a Saturday and I found myself on a Sunday morning service there in Salinas, California, Victor Aure, Salinas, California. I was in the back row, a big old mustache, a pack of smokes, checking all the girls out. I just didn't fit. I was like, what am I doing here? Who am I fooling? I don't fit. But then the grace and the mercy of the Lord would fall. The message would go forward. And all of a sudden, the Lord would start stirring my heart, a hardened heart. He would slowly start breaking it and chiseling away at it because he had a plan for my life. And now, 23 years later, I'm able to look back on that day where I gave my life to the Lord and where the good works started of Jesus within my life. Has it been easy? No. Has it been worth it? Yes. Just to see you all here this day and know a few of your stories, it's well worth it. That Christ is alive, he's well, he's moving, he's still saving, he's still baptizing, amen. And he's able to put smiles still on people's faces that at one time were mad dogging, posting up and acting all crazy, amen. One time a smile was known for weakness, now a smile is known for strength. And that Christ lives within your life. We just have things so backwards. But again, the title of the message is The Time to Recognize Jesus from the Feet Up. As you go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13, the Bible reads, they find a word. This is Paul speaking. He was no joke. Amen. He was no joke in the world. Amen. He was a Christian persecutor. Amen. Amen. He was killing people, imprisoning people. But then Christ met up with him on the road to Damascus. Amen. Like he has with each and every one of us. And he broke Paul down, amen, to become a very, very powerful apostle of God. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. How are we going to be strong? In the Lord. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. So here we come to find out that the devil has a strategy to take your life out, to get you out of position, to allow you to continue to fail. The enemy has a strategy. He has an order. And that's why God here this day is going to speak on the full armor, that we can counter the work of the enemy, counter the strategies of the enemy, and that we can become wise. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. With these, amen, no more. But against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Key, the unseen world. That means these don't work in this fight we're fighting right now, amen. But against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world. Second key word, dark world. And against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, Paul's giving instructions. He's saying this is a spiritual fight. It's not this, amen. He's giving a little credit to the enemy that he has power and that he has strategies. But he's going on to say that we can have the power of God dressing ourselves in the full armor of God that's greater than the strategies and the powers of Satan here this day. It says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. That says there's going to be a battle. That says there is a battle taking place right now. But what I pray after we go through this series of the full armor of God is that when the battle comes, that at the end you'll be there standing firm still, because your life is now dressed in the full armor of God. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here this morning. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, I'm going to read it out of the King James Version. I like the translation better, amen? Every other scripture we're giving throughout the message today is going to be found in the NLT, amen? The New Living Translation. Quick commercial, if you were baptized yesterday, all the certificates are signed by your pastor, amen? So on the way out, the ushers will have them for you can get your certificate of the baptism that took place yesterday, amen? Let's give the Lord another good clap offering. So here we're starting here in verse 15. It says, and your feet shod. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's what we're going to be covering today. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. I pray that you put me to the side here this day, that you continue to speak, that you continue to minister to your sons and daughters, Lord Father God, and that you teach them as a good father, Lord, for them to learn how to dress themselves in your full armor, Lord, that brings victory against all the strategies of the enemy. In your precious name we pray. And we all say in one accord, amen. As we go back to the scripture, verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The word shod simply means wearing or protected by well-fitting or high-quality shoes. Amen? The word shod, I think that's going to be the toughest line I use through the whole message. Amen? But you need to get it. Amen? When Paul was speaking, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the word shod once again means wearing or protected by well-fitting or high-quality shoes. Now, the true Roman shoes, amen, that were shod, amen, were really sandals that were strapped up. There were sandals, amen. For different sports, there's different shoes, amen. In basketball, it's a shoe meant to grip the gym floor, amen? In football, there's a cleat, amen, to get traction in the grass. Or on a rainy day, they'll put on another different type of cleat to get the best traction possible, amen? In different jobs, there's different types of shoes that one wears. At heavy construction jobs, there's some that wear not just shoes, but that are steel-toed. There's some jobs that won't let you on the job site that it's mandatory that you wear steel-toed boots. Amen? There's all kinds of jobs that also call for different types of shoe to get the grip acquired in order to get the job done. Amen? More safely, more effective.
So there's many different types of shoes, amen? And the girls are going to like this one. There's even different girl shoes with different types of heels on them. Some are 1 inch high, some are 5 inches high. Even girls got different shoes that they wear when they come to church, amen? Different shoes for whatever the task is or wherever you're going. If you're going to church, you usually use a better shoe than on a normal day, amen? It's a different shoe than you use usually than the one you go to work with. So on each, I'm not a guy that has 1,000 pair of shoes. I know people that do, amen? I got 2 or 3 and that's it. But I even used some little booties yesterday when we went to the lake that you can put on in the sand, walking in the rock, and it's just a real thin shoe that allows you to walk on the rocks or anything with not feeling the effects of the rocks, amen? I don't know what they call them. I know it sounds kind of feminine, but I said booties. I said it, amen? And if you're a Christian here this day, there's also a type of shoe that we use in being Christians. The message is going to be really, really simple for all to understand here this day. Amen? And I'll do my best to keep the Mexican out of it, the Greek out of it, the Hebrew out of it. I'll do my best. Amen? So this sandal was shot, amen? It was studded with what they call hobnails. It was studded with hobnails. And what this Roman officer would use as his, the shoe of battle, it had like spikes under it, amen? It was like long nails that were like a cleat to get traction, to be able to stand firm and fight. Though they were meant to run in, they were really meant to dig in and hold the shield, stand firm, and to fight. That there were, please move the camera, I'm moving. That they were meant to like really dig in. You know, really dig in, put the shield and have the sword ready to fight. And they would dig in. And I'm here to teach the church, the men, the women, how to dig in Christ. Wearing the right shoes, amen? Too many are still concerned in having all kinds of shoes with not one in the closet being the shoe of the Christian. A part of the full armor. Remember, a time to recognize Jesus from the feet up. It allows a man or a woman not only to dig in, amen, but to stand firm, because the battle and the fight is going to come. There's no way around it. And there's nothing worse. I remember in Texas after the clubs, there would always be a good fight after the club in the parking lot, amen? And I had those mafioso snake boots all the time, amen? Pythons and all those kinds of snakes, boots. And they were good for kicking, but they didn't have no traction in the parking lot. It's almost like getting in a fight on the snow or on the ice with the wrong kind of shoes on. You can't really step into it, amen? In boxing, the footwork, it's all in the footwork. We're going to have to get the footwork right. We're going to have to get in position. If we want to win this fight that has already been won at the cross, God is asking for the believer, you and I, to stand firm. And in order to do that, you're going to have the right shoes on. You're going to have the right shoes on. If you're tired of slipping and want traction in your life, want victory in your life, you got to have the right shoes on. You got to have the right shoes on. Too many want the victory, but they still got their dancing shoes on. They still got their high heels on. If you're tired of slipping and want traction in your life, victory, it's time to get the shoes on, battle shoes on. You're going to need to learn God's word. As difficult as it is to understand, I know there's new people here. There's people starting off in Christ, and I was also intimidated by God's word because it didn't make sense. I couldn't apply it to my life because it was too hard and just difficult to comprehend. And then some of it sounded too hard, and some of it sounded fake, and it was just real difficult when I first started. But the Lord, through His grace and mercy, positioned me to become the director of the home where I would have to get in the Word. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year after year after year, I would learn how to put on the shoes of battle, of the full armor of God. Amen? You're going to need to learn God's Word. If you're tired of not having peace, God's word is the answer to stress and to all of our daily anxieties that each and every one of us go through. Your feet are going to have to be shod with the gospel of peace. Amen? Before you can give peace to somebody else's life, it's first got to be within your own life. I have here in my notes, have you ever gone outside barefooted and quickly find out there's areas that are off limits? Simply because you were barefooted. Simply because you were barefooted. You run out in a rush and then all of a sudden, you got to stop because you're barefooted. There's too many barefooted Christians year after year after year that are off limits, out of position to what God has for their lives. You're barefooted. We need to have the shoes, our feet with the shoes shot with the gospel of peace. And too many times we're off limits to what God has for us because we're barefooted. We're limited in what we can do. Because just about any battle and every battle takes us out and got us slipping. Why? We're barefooted. There's no traction. Shoes give you the ability to go almost anywhere and do almost anything. There are shoes that allow you to go into the snow that have traction and you can't even sense the cold. There are shoes, the right shoes that can take you into the desert at 130 degrees. And your feet will be okay. Why? You got the correct shoe on. There's mountain shoes. There's even shoes that they wear to go to the moon. There's moon shoes. Moon shoes. Yeah, there's moon shoes, man. There's ballerina shoes. Ballerina shoes. And I believe that's the problem of the church. We think we're all messed up. Our past messed us up. We're too far gone. But you just got to have the right shoes on. Because the right shoe can take you almost, not everywhere, can take you almost everywhere and almost do anything. The right shoe is important here this day. As believers, we are giving God's words the shoes in order to be ready for battle. In order to be ready for battle and to help others facing their spiritual battles that they're going through. And that's what I'm doing. I'm a man of God. I'm a warrior of God. And today I'm preaching what I know works. I'm not just bringing a scripture out of the Bible, but it's one that I apply daily. No matter what type of shoe I got on, my spiritual army boots, amen, are always on. Because I know the battle don't wait sometimes for you to wake up. Sometimes the battle comes at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., through him or her. So we got to learn how to put the shoes on and get in position. Get the right traction going. Get the right grip. Amen. So that we can be more effective in fighting the good fight that God has called us to fight. God's word covers all areas of your life along with others. Out of all the parts of the full armor of God, there is only one of them, of the six, there's only one offensive weapon. Out of all the parts of the full armor of God, only one is an offensive weapon, which is the sword of the Spirit. Amen? Which tells us that defense is very important. If you want to be a great man of God in the making, a great woman of God in the making, defense is a very important part of the full armor of God. All of it is defense. For nothing to get in. And it's only the sword, amen? That's the offensive weapon. But all the other parts of the full armor of God make up defense. How many know that not only the enemy, but certain people are trying to take what the Lord has given us? We're going to have a defense within our life, a strategy within our life. Because it's not only the enemy, but there's people that want to remove what God is doing in your life, what he has already done in your life. So you're going to have a defense strategy within your life if you want to continue to hold on what he has done, and you want to continue to take hold of more and more, there's going to have to be a defensive plan in your life. And the full armor of God does just that. Revelations chapter 3 verse 11 says, I am coming soon. This is the Lord speaking. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. Once again, the full armor of God is 90% defense. In sports, it is always said that good defense wins games. If it's basketball, football, whatever the sport is, if it's two real competitive teams in the playoffs that it can go either way, the commentators would always say it's going to be the defense that wins the game. When there are two teams that are really close, the commentators will always say this game is going to fall on the defense. The defense is going to win this game. How many want to be great defense warriors in the army of God? James chapter 4, verse 7 says, so humble yourselves. Pride ain't going to do it, amen? So humble yourself before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's the power we carry right there. Resisting the devil is a defense. It almost sounds like an offensive move, but it's a defense. When you see something that the enemy is trying to use, whether it's something bad or even something good, you got to be able to see it in order to resist. Amen? I put in my notes, sometimes the word no and the word yes will be the biggest words you'll ever need in your life. You got to learn how to say no to Satan. And we got to learn how to start saying yes to Jesus. I believe there's some areas within the church here this day that you need to start saying no to. It needs to come to an end within your life if you want to stand firm in Christ. If you want the victory in your life, in your marriage, in your children, in your ministry, in the city of Milwaukee, there's going to be things that you're going to have to say no to in your life. And the Bible records, as you do so, as you resist the devil, and the Bible says that he will flee from you. It's almost like he needs your permission in order to get in. He needs your permission in order to get in. I know when he attacked Job, he needed the permission of God to attack Job. And if that was a rule for Job's life, I believe also it's a rule for our life. And I believe sometimes God will test the man, test the woman, test the youth member to see what we're going to do. Are we going to say no? Or are we going to continue to say yes, what's been destroying our lives? That removes the peace of the gospel. See, the word of the Lord is to bring you peace, power, not only for your life, but for the life of others. But too many times we surrender the peace for misery. Sometimes the word no and yes will be the biggest words you'll ever need. If you want great defense, you're going to have to start saying no to certain areas of your life. And I promise you, as you start saying no to those areas, that devil, that evil spirit's going to have to get on. They need your permission. And when they come crooked, unfair, the Bible says that the Lord not only leads us, but that he's our rear guard, Scripture says. The Lord got our back. Stop depending on that person that says they got your back. The message is that simple here this day. If you really want to continue to grow in the things of the Lord, you're going to have to start saying no to the work of the enemy and yes to the new work that God has for your life that brings peace and allows you to spread the peace of the gospel to bring victory to somebody else's life. I put here in my notes, great defense stops the offensive moves of the enemy upon your life. Simple but powerful point right there. great defense stops the offensive moves of the enemy upon your life. That's why in real important games, defense wins the game. Why? It stops the offense from scoring. I don't know about you, man, but I ran with the devil long enough to run with him just on the weekends and stuff. I'm done with that. I just don't want to be a recipient of peace. I want to be one that's able to bring peace in the power of the gospel of Jesus, like I'm doing this morning, bringing a revelation to your situation so that you may have victory and the right shoes on. Positioning is everything. If you remain in the Lord, positioning is everything. Even in sports, position in basketball, in the paint, it's how you block out. As the receivers are running, they're pushing off. They're trying to get position on the ball, or they're trying to get position on the blocker in front of them. They're trying to get a foot up on them. Positioning is everything. Today we have, amen, the opportunity to get in position, no longer in a worldly position, but in a godly position with our feet shod with the gospel of peace that brings power to the believer. The full armor of God I put here exposes the enemy. If you stay in position, you got to give it time. How many years did it take for you to get all messed up? Sometimes it takes time to clean up the stuff, amen, that we did for such a long period of time where it's just ingrained in us. It's just a habit way. It's not beyond a habit. It's bondage. But man, you get the right shoes on, you start saying no to the right things and saying yes to the right things, your life is going to grow quickly. Quickly, your life is going to grow. But you got to really want it. You got to really want to be victorious. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, a final word: be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. I want you to hear that. So look at the person next to you. It's not them, amen? Yeah, but I'm mad at her, Pastor. I know you be mad at her all you want, and she ain't the problem. And vice versa, he ain't the problem either, amen? For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. The fight we're fighting, so we leave the scripture on, please. The fight we're fighting, amen, the Bible says in verse 12, it's against the rulers, evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world. In the unseen world. Amen? Not only in an unseen world, amen, in other words, in the natural, what the eye's able to see, but in a darkened world is the fight we're up against. I put here in my notes, how many have ever won a physical fist fight? You won, hands down. And afterwards, still feel like you lost the fight. Why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why did I go there? Because you're still trying to make it happen in the natural. When the enemy you're against is an unseen enemy, amen? The drug addicts and the crack addicts, that's just the manifestation of what he's doing. Amen? putting on the armor of God, I tell you again, exposes the enemy. The enemy's being exposed right now. Again, I'm probably going to get a good one after the service. Praise the Lord. I got the full armor of God on. Amen. It's probably going to come from behind, more than likely. Amen. The hit's going to come from behind. Amen. You know, when you tell woman, why don't you stand in my face? It's almost, ah! Pastor, I got your back. Yeah, I know you. I got your back. Yeah, you got it, all right. Putting on the armor of God exposes the enemy. Colossians chapter 2, 13 and 15. I used this one at the baptism class yesterday. The Bible says you were dead because of your sins. Who was still breathing but dead in the acts that we were doing out there? We were like the walking dead. We were breathing, but we were dead. You were dead. Why? Because of your sins. And because of your sinful nature. You weren't just thinking of sin. You were doing it up. You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. But the Bible goes on to say, then God made you alive. Who's alive here today? Amen? Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us. And though I did some time, boy, I did little time compared to what I didn't get caught for. I should have been a lifer, a death sentence over and over with what I got away with. The Bible says that he not only made us alive, he took us from death, he made us alive, but that he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away. In other words, he cut it away by nailing it to the cross. Jesus did time for me at the cross that I should have been a lifer in prison. But Jesus took my time. He took my charges. He took your charges. He took your sin upon the cross. He cut away the sinful nature for you to be victorious here this day and no longer be deceived by this unseen world, by this darkened world that we live in. He is opening your eyes today that you have the opportunity to be victorious. No matter what your background was about, Jesus took it to the cross for your life and for my life and for anybody's life. No matter where they've been, no matter what they've done, he took all our charges to the cross. And he cut away the sin and the sinful nature from our lives by what he did. In this way, it gets better. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So he not only cut away the sin from our lives, amen, but he also disarmed the enemy. The enemy you're against right now seems powerful. Paul spoke about that in the beginning. But his power has been disarmed. Jesus not only paid the price in full for your life and my life, he not only cut it away, but he disarmed the enemy. The Bible says that he has shamed the enemy at the cross in public. What looked like Jesus being defeated, dying on the cross, was truly the victory for your life and my life. There's some things that are currently taking place in your life right now that look like you're being defeated, but Jesus is in the midst right now, and he's bringing a victory, because there's no way you can have victory without a fight. There's got to be a fight if you want victory in your life. There's got to be a fight. There's got to be a fight. There's got to be a battle. The good news here of the gospel is that Jesus at the cross disarmed the enemy, the works of the enemy. The strategies of the enemy have been disarmed. Bible says he cut away in 13, canceled the record of charges against us in 14. And verse 15 says that he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. Let's go back to Ephesians 6:12. And here we fight for, once again, the scripture I use, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Amen. Jesus put a whooping on the authorities of the unseen world, against the mighty powers in this dark world. That's what he did at the cross for your life and my life. He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities that operate in the unseen world, amen, in a darkened world that we live in right now. We're fighting an enemy, I put here, that has been disarmed by the doing of Jesus on the cross. Some of you are going to have to simply learn this one today. If there's anything I want you to catch today, is learning how to say no to the work of the enemy in your life. Amen. That one point right there will take you a long way forward. It'll allow you to strap on them boots, amen, real nice and tight, fitted, amen, for they can be able to take on that traction, dig in, so that you can do the right moves, no longer running, no longer slipping, but digging in, because you have the victory here this day. The truth is, you and I have the victory this day. We're fighting a disarmed enemy, and the only way he becomes armed is by us giving him permission. By saying yes to him instead of no to him. Too many still saying yes to the work of the enemy. And that's why your life will never have peace. That's why God will never allow you to be a carrier and a transmitter of peace, bringing the light against this unseen enemy in this darkened world. The Bible says that God is the light of the world, but he calls us the light of the world as well. See, as you put on the full armor of God, amen, you allow the enemy to be revealed. His strategies. You say, I ain't doing that one again. That didn't work. I ain't doing that one again. But sometimes we keep doing again and again and again what don't work. You don't need a revelation on it. You just need to say the no revelation. I ain't gonna do that no more. I can't do that no more. I'm gonna resist the devil. And the Bible says, and he will flee. But too many times you stay looking too long, and we're saying in the name of Jesus, but we ain't really resisting. We're saying we're still doing the wrong thing. And that's why the effect of the enemy is still able to get in and allow you to think incorrectly, do things incorrectly. You're saying the right words, but you're still doing the wrong thing. I want this church to be spiritually victorious. I want to see men raised up. It don't take long to say no. On the way out of church in your car, you can say, no, I ain't doing that one no more. Hey, before you even get in your car, you're going to be tempted. It's just, what's it going to be, yes or no? Some of you get tempted, are being tempted right now as I'm preaching the message. We got to get them battle shoes on. Jesus wants to bring your life peace. He's done all the work at the cross already. He's even disarmed the enemy. I always say the worst enemy is us, because we keep saying yes instead of no. Translate in Spanish in case there's no English speakers here. No, sí. You're going to have to learn to say no al diablo y sí a Cristo. ¿Quién vive? Cristo y su pueblo. So that's when I get preaching in Spanish. La victoria. Guys, it ain't that difficult. You got to ask yourself, am I tired of being in the same place year after year after year? I'm going to make the altar call, and this is the altar call. I want you guys to come and get, remember the tags. If you got kids, get them lined up in front of you as we stand this day. Getting in position from the feet up by using the word no. Wow. That's the message today. You know how we talk to our kids, what part of no didn't you understand? Boy. You gotta learn how to say no, guys. I can preach till I'm purple in the face. If you keep saying yes on the way out to the work of the enemy, I can't help you. But man, I know what Christ is able to do in a short period of time in somebody's life when we say no to the past and yes to what Jesus has for us. Quick. Starts moving quick. Victory after victory starts coming back to back to back. And these type of victories you feel good about afterwards. Not bad after these type of victories. But you feel good about it. Why? You're doing it the Lord's way now. You're doing it the Lord's way. The gospel is simple. The gospel is simple. Jesus says in his word, he's coming back soon, Revelation said. Don't let no one take your crown from you. Take hold of what you've heard this day and put up that defense. Put on them battle shoes, amen, and watch what the Lord does. Whatever the song is, love, as we all make our way forward, amen, with the ushers, all around the altars, amen, of the yellow, and then down the hallways on the side, there's stickers on the side. It's time to dig in. It's time to dig in. It's time to dig in. Higher.